I'm not going to lie. This is not going to be the most fun episode we've ever done, but it's going to be an important one because if you're a parent right now, you know it's hard. You know there are challenges no matter what version of 2021 you're living, right? Mm-hmm. This is actually, credit to Sarah, this was her idea. She saw a TV news story about the school counselors of the year that were just given the award. And she said, should we maybe have one of them on and get some good advice?
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, we did that. And the advice you're going to hear is fantastic.
To be totally honest, I don't know what I was expecting when we booked her for the interview. And I was like, oh, we'll probably just, you know, have some kind of warm and fuzzies about how to deal with this with our kids. I was blown away by some of the real concrete calls to action that she helped us with.
Yeah. So if you're a parent, we hope you'll hang for that. If you're not, you can just hang for the fun part in the beginning and then forward this on to the parent in your life.
For sure.
But let's start with the light stuff. We ended the week with our big game snack spectacular. Mm-hmm, did you make any of the snacks we talked about on the episode? What did you have in the Perry household for the big game?
I did. I waddled in here to record this with you. Feeling very sluggish today.
Yes.
I made the ham and cheese melty gooey sliders.
Yep.
When we started talking about all the potential snacks, I was like, oh yeah, I even forgot about that one. And I was like reminded of how good it was. And I was like, we haven't had that in a long time. So we did those. We've had those before. Huge hit. I did the, bean and cheese kind of like skillet, like the bean dip, a gooey bean and cheese dip. I did some just good old tots with Trader Joe's has this new sauce. It's kind of like the secret sauce that's at In-N-Out. And we did some of that over the top, drizzled some of that over the top. And I know we're only a family of four, but I also did this other thing that we didn't even talk about because I passed by it at Trader Joe's. It's some new item. It's fried ravioli bites. Yeah, breaded fried raviolis. And I just did them in the air fryer. That air fryer is like the superstar of my life right now.
Yeah, I wish we were getting some kind of commission on this because we've had a lot of people reach out and say they bought air fryers because we keep raving about them. Sarah, I'm going to give you, that sounds delicious. I salute you. Look, that's the big challenge, right? It's the Super Bowl. You usually do put out a ton of food, and I've only got a family of four too, and I put out a ton of stuff.
Okay, what did you do?
Real quick, social media tip though, you have to tell people they're fried raviolis because I saw your Insta story and it was like air fryer and it was like little weird squares. Did you fry Pop-Tarts?
No, because you probably didn't see the slide before that, which was a picture of the bag from Trader Joe's.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, they looked good at any rate.
They're the bomb.
The thing that I made from our special was the buffalo meatballs. And I said on the show, I said, just get some frozen meatballs, throw some Frank's Red Hot and some butter in there. But I actually, we wanted to give links to actual recipes. And if you haven't seen those, they're still up at ajandsarah.com. Go to the blog. And the recipe was from my favorite food blogger, Carlsbad Craving. So I made her from scratch, honey buffalo meatballs. They're very good. And then I went down her rabbit hole. She also had a jalapeno popper dip. Printed that sucker out and made that.
And wait, what was in the jalapeno popper dip?
Cream cheese.
Yes.
Little mayo, a little sour cream.
Yes.
Cheddar. Mozzarella. And then this is where you're going to go to the next level. Freaking bacon. There was bacon in there.
Oh my God.
Okay, listen, special.
When this is all over and we're allowed to be in the same house, will you please invite us over and will you make that?
I can't wait. I can't wait to have you over.
Okay.
Listen to this move, my friend.
Yeah.
What food item from a restaurant is just way better than it has any right to be? These things should be gross, but you know damn well they're good. I'm talking about Jack in the Box tacos. Do you know they sell those in cartons of mini tacos now?
What?
Yes. It's like a Chinese takeout container full of tiny little tacos. So
what in the world?
When I, on my way back from the grocery store, I hit that drive-thru and got a big pile of tiny little Jack in the Box tacos to even out the spread.
Wait a minute. What is it about Jack in the Box tacos? Like, they're different than other tacos. They're different.
Well, yes, because other tacos don't appear to have dog food in them. They haven't fried the lettuce.
Say it.
Like, everything about them, they should not. They have no right to be good. And you know damn well they are.
Like, what's up with the meat? It's almost like a refried bean texture meat.
You know what I mean? It's so cat food like. And then the cheese is all fried in there. You look at it and you go, I can't believe I'm about to eat this, but I can't wait to eat it because it's actually good.
Is that pate? What's in there?
Yeah. Oh, man. Wow. And we mouth through
hot
those
tip.
Things.
So, wow, hey, yeah. Hot tip.
If you're entertaining on a budget, go through there. $3 for 15 tacos.
If you're entertaining, someone comes over and you're like, may I present to you my dish? They are carton of mini tacos from Jack in the Box.
I was very excited. I remember seeing the commercials a long time ago, and I said, mental note, one of these days I'm just going to, for a football game or something, get a bunch of those mini tacos. And when I got there, to my surprise, it was only $3 for 15. And
That's an amazing price. That's an amazing
price. As I got them and I was driving off, I was thinking to myself, what is in those that they can sell you 15 for that cheap? I don't even want to think about it. I do not want to think about what I'm about to feed my family.
It is cat food. Unfortunately, it's cat food, but it tastes good. So it's fine.
It was fine. So we hope you all had delicious snacks for your games. And funny feedback from a listener. Did you see? Oh, you did, because you posted it. A listener named Yolanda. Sarah last week shared the story of her worst date ever, and she was kissing this guy, and the guy's move was to take his tongue and slide it between the front of her teeth and her front lip.
Like a little tongue windshield wiper.
And Yolanda thought she'd surprise her husband with that particular technique, and she shared that he reeled back and said, what was that?
What are you doing? What the weird thing are you doing? I was like, I feel so bad for her husband, but they would be fun to hang out with. Like, if you're the type of couple where you're like, I'm not going to tell my husband, but I'm about to try something real weird. And then my husband heard that episode and he was like, windshield wiper, huh? And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't I tell you that story before?
That's the thing about this job is you know it's a story worth sharing is and you share it, but then when it goes out to the world, you're like, I don't want everyone to hear the story of my eye patch and my.
But thank you for getting over your own insecurities about that and sharing it. I think my mom is listening to the episodes. I think she's like a little behind, so I'm like, when is she going to get to the one about the windshield wiper kiss? I mean, it's just a kiss, but it's like weird, like to just know that my mom is hearing all the details. It's weird.
You went first on that episode, so I completely cleansed Fatima's mental palate as soon as I go in with, it all started like this. I thought I was going to lose my virginity at the beach.
If you haven't heard that episode, by the way, it's so worth a listen. AJ's story of that night is one of the best ones.
That is the Sophie Singer episode, the love coach that we had on last Wednesday or Thursday, if you're in the show notes. So there you go. That is that's what's up with us. So today's, as we said, going to be a little bit more serious than a lot of other episodes, but we're going to cover something super important, which is how to continue to get our kids through these weird times with the homeschooling and the separation from their friends. We got the perfect person to talk to. Bonnie Heyman is from the La Mesa Spring Valley School District, and she was one of three school counselors recognized as Counselor of the Year recently. So she's doing it right. She knows what's going on. And she's who we want to talk to. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. So glad to be here.
So happy you could join us.
Yeah, so happy you could join us. I actually had my online check-in with my kids, the teacher and counselor, the other day, and we were lucky enough to get a good report, but she said it's sad that you guys are the exception, not the rule. So many families are struggling with one thing or another. I guess the first question is, what is the main... If there's one thing a lot of our kids are struggling with, what would be the top of the list?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I mean, I'm going to say, if I had to say the number one thing is just that feeling of isolation, that sense of being isolated from their routine, from their friends, even from their teachers, kids are missing that experience.
And what can we do about it? If we can't get them in a classroom with their friends, what can substitute for that? Or how can we talk to them about that?
I'm going to just summarize it really quickly by giving you a bunch of C's, because I think that'll help to just give you a place to hang it.
Great.
But getting that sense of being able to survive, the resilience to get through this, just I'm going to throw out a couple C's. First of all is connection. They've got to have an opportunity to feel connected in some way, even through social distancing. So we look for those opportunities, connecting with our own families and then finding ways that we can make it a little bit more meaningful. Another one that I think is really important right now is contribution. That's the feeling of what's the point? How can I find purpose in these times? I think adults are experiencing that as well. So opportunities to volunteer, opportunities to do something for someone else and getting outside of our own situation. So that is a key thing that I don't think we're talking enough about. A couple of other quick C's that I'm going to throw out.
Yeah.
A sense of competence, feeling like I'm good at something. For a lot of students, distance learning is just, it's not their thing. They're the kid who made the other kids in class laugh.
Aww.
They're that creative kiddo and they just, it's not working for them. So finding something that they can feel competent at. And for example, I was talking to parents today and they were saying, I can't unplug my kid from their games. That's all they want to do. And I said, well, first of all, let's find out why. Is that the only place they feel skillful? Is that the only place they feel in a rush of adrenaline? Is that a place they can escape? Is that the only way they can connect with their friends? If we don't look at the why behind that draw, then we're fighting the wrong battle. And then just again, teaching, and another C is really teaching our kids coping strategies, actually teaching them explicitly, not just telling them go do something to relax, but telling them what that looks and feels like and modeling it and walking them through, just like when they were little, when we used to like teach them how to do that stuff. And the last C I got to mention is control. Kids are feeling out of control. They feel like every day there's a new promise that was made and is now broken. There is a sense that all this is happening to them. And so helping kids to gain a sense of control in whatever way we can, I think is also important.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. That almost makes me want to tear up that last one, you know, all the broken promises, you know, we feel that way as adults too. I can only imagine being a child and not able to process it in the same way, not having the life experiences to look back on quite yet, you know, and kind of put it all into perspective. That's pretty powerful.
One of the things, I don't know if you're experiencing this, but we sure are in the school setting. And that is that our kids were rallying. And we're like, we're almost through 2020. Just hang in there.
Yeah.
And then, so then they woke up on January 1st, 2021, and everything was still here and it looked the same. And we're finding that kids are like, I'm done. Like this is the game is rigged. And so there is a new wave of fatigue, a new wave of feeling like, really, what is the point? Why should I do this history lesson? Yeah. Does it really matter? So today when I met with every Friday, I meet with parents on Zoom and we try to process and kind of walk through this together. And what we talked about today is sometimes as parents, we have to be the point. We have to provide the point because it's that A on the report card just isn't motivating enough right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, those five C's are a great framework. I'm so glad you just ran with that because I feel like you could take almost any behavior your kid is putting out there and kind of, I hope you wrote those down. And if you don't, it's a podcast. You can rewind it and listen to it and write them down again and go, is this about control? Is this about competence? I don't know. Did you come up with those five C's or is it a thing going around?
No, they're great. I am a smart borrower.
Good. Yeah, us too.
We're going to borrow it from you.
I think this is a time when we got to be generous. Nobody gets to hold things too close. If you've got a nugget, we have to share.
Yeah, well, that's a good one.
I've had this struggle with my kids, and I don't think there's ever been anything so far disconnected between what we tell them and how they're taking it, as far as, we'll tell them till we're blue in the face. There's nothing to be terrified of. It is a virus. It's real. You know, we're going to be careful when we go out, but if we're careful, we don't have to worry about it too much. And kids don't even get it that way. They tell them everything about, like, we want them to know, hey, yeah, we're going to go ahead and throw on a mask if there's people around or whatever. But, and then I see their behavior when someone walks towards them and they're tightening up and like it's a zombie apocalypse. And it's like, no, we can stay calm about this. You know, I don't know. You hear us say one thing, but I must have told them 100 times over these last several months, like, take a deep breath. It's nothing that scary. And
yeah,
I don't know if it's having, I don't know what it is. Can you help me with that?
We're trying to convince ourselves of that too, probably every time we say it, you know?
You know what? I would say that's exactly it, is our words. We're saying something, but kids have noses. They smell it. They smell when an adult is stressed. They know when we say you don't have to be scared, honey, but then they see the fear in either ourselves, or they overhear the news, or they hear that conversation we had on a phone with the friend. So part of it is just helping them to know that it's okay to feel fear. I am afraid sometimes, and sometimes I'm not. And so when you see that bracing or that flinching, just saying, hey, are you feeling it today? What triggered that? Well, that lady that just walked past us stepped off the sidewalk, and that made me think that this is scary.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah, so totally. Our words, we're giving our words, but our words are landing in a context of all kinds of other input, and we have to be aware of that.
So it comes down to one of the great, great parental challenges is sometimes we need to shut up and listen. We need to stop telling them, here's why you're not scared, and say, you shouldn't be scared, and say, why are you scared? So we can actually speak to those specific fears.
Or just saying, what do you feel in your body right now? They might say, I'm not scared, but we can see it.
Yeah.
And so helping them to connect that, and also to not be afraid of being afraid.
Yeah.
And not be afraid of feeling anxious or feeling depressed. We've been talking to so many kids that are like, they think something's terribly wrong with them because they're experiencing anxiety. And what I want them to understand is anxiety won't kill you. Anxiety, it can be a friend because it helps you to understand body cues. And it can protect you. So we have to understand that this is appropriate. This is an anxious and depressing time, and it's appropriate to experience those emotions.
So my younger daughter, when you spoke about coping mechanisms earlier, she had a run-in with anxiety, pretty severe case early on after this all started. And she was suddenly, she's the happiest kid in the world. And suddenly she was literally afraid of the wind. If the wind blew, she would curl into a ball, and she slept in our room. And you know, I taught her how to do box breathing, which is a very simple breathing technique that you can Google it on the internet. We got her the Calm app in her phone because there's kid stories she can listen to, or even try to meditate if she wanted to, which she did sometimes. And over time, it was effective. She's fine now. But what are some other, because if the anxiety is not uncommon, what are some other things people can give their kids as coping? You mentioned those coping tools. Yeah. Give us some.
Okay, well, I'm going to, again, keep it super simple because we're all trying to juggle so much information. So focus on the senses. Focus on your 5 senses. So we look for things that are going to be calming to our eyes. And again, everybody has different things that work for them. And it sounds like you experimented. That's part of it. You tried out. But we look for things that are calming to our eyes, things that we can look at and see, things that we can smell. So is it oils, or is it a nice candle, or is it the smell of popcorn popping? What is pleasing and calming and helps us cope that is a scent? It could be lotion. What can we taste? Are there tastes that are particularly calming or that we can even imagine? Things that we feel, whether it's a weighted blanket or a really furry blanket. And so what did I leave out?
We did.
Oh, don't ask me.
Hearing.
A sound. Yeah, sound was it.
Yeah. What do we listen to? Is it those song, that white noise, or is it some beautiful music? So that's one way that we can frame and trying to understand what works for our children. And you try it out. You say, let's give this a try and see, does the smell of that lotion smell nice? And does it feel good being rubbed on your hands? Or we might try something else.
And yeah. Bonnie, you work mostly with middle school students, correct?
I do. Our school is an arts academy, La Mesa Arts Academy. And so we're grades 4th through 8th. So 10 to 14 year olds.
Are you noticing, I would imagine, different age kids are kind of having different challenges? I keep thinking, I've got a 7 and a 10 year old, but I keep thinking, oh man, if they were a little bit older and this was their first year of junior high, that would be so challenging. Or if this was their last year of high school, this would be so challenging. Or a brand new kindergartner. Mm-hmm. Each age seems to have its own challenges.
Yeah. Well, one context to put it in is that when you think about the younger the child, the bigger percentage of life a year is. So for a kindergartner, right? That's like a decade or two for me, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So, that's helpful just to remember they had the opportunity to survive other seasons, other challenges. So it does look different at each age group, and it looks different for each personality style. Introverts and extroverts are managing and experiencing this very different.
Well, you've given us some really great info. Sarah, you get the nod for booking her on, because I feel like this was, look, man, all of us parents are just doing our best, but it's hard. And I guess the last question I have is, how do we answer the question that we can't get an answer to? Which, you know, every kid wants to know, how much longer are we going to do this? How much longer? Yeah. And there's no answer, right? And you're the parent, you want to have an answer.
Like
so
that road trip where we're like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Yes. And it's just excruciating. Well, first of all, I would say, let's just acknowledge we don't know. And so we're going to, I'm going to leave you with my little, I love acronyms. And so I say, we just, every day we got to do 4 things. And the acronym is HOPE, because that's what we need, right? So H, we do something for our health. O is we do something for others. Look outside yourself. It's that contribution piece. P is we keep perspective. We're alive. We have food to eat. We try to find other things to be grateful for. And then E is we identify something that we can be expectant about, that we can count on, that we isn't going to be a broken promise. Tomorrow, we're going to watch a movie on TV, COVID or not. Social
distancing. I promise you we will. Yeah.
We're making popcorn. That is a given. Something I can look forward to. We're calling grandma. Something like that. So
just maybe celebrating these little life moments that we can feel like we have control over.
Absolutely. And being able to mark this is a season that there's a lot of victories in. There's a lot to be grateful for. So helping your kids be able to write their story and say, this isn't all bad. We've got blessings within it. We've got challenges that we've already overcome.
Oh my gosh. That is so inspiring. You and your fellow school counselors and all the teachers, we already knew you guys had a tough job and huge hearts. And this past year has just driven that point home. I don't think there's one parent who hasn't thought to themselves a million times, oh, thank God for the teachers and thank God for the counselors. We appreciate everything you're doing for our kids.
Well, thank you. And you're right. Teachers are absolute superheroes right now. And we're just kind of coming up behind them, trying to support them. And parents, man, there's a cape every one of them is wearing. This is unbelievable. So thanks a lot for letting me just chat with you today.
Well, I'll tell you what, the 5 C's were worth the price of admission, and the HOPE acronym was a bonus. And I know what I'm going to do as a parent is I'm going to write down the 5 C's for myself to reference when I need to kind of troubleshoot a situation. And I'm going to print out the HOPE acronym for the whole family and hang it on the fridge or somewhere where we can see
that's
it every
awesome.
Day. Because
I'll send you a little graphic that I have that is on my fridge too.
Oh, please.
There you go.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, please. We'll connect that. We'll make sure all the listeners of the podcast have access to that too. That's really cool.
I'll put it up where they can print it off on our website or something. I'll figure it out. Thank you for the time and thank you for the fantastic information. We really appreciate it.
Welcome.
We always wrap things up with a feel-good news story. And this story is so cool. And it actually took place around Christmas time. I guess it just took a while to make the rounds. It's about a group of Chick-fil-A coworkers in Appleton, Wisconsin. A bunch of them work together and they've become super good friends. And they kind of look out for each other when they're at work and even when they're not. And back around the time the Chick-fil-A Christmas party was coming up, there was a hot rumor that there was going to be a raffle. And one of the prizes was going to be a car.
What?
So a big group of these friends said, hey, let's just agree that if any of us win this car, let's give it to the one coworker friend of ours that doesn't have a car.
Aww.
Well, that coworker was their friend Hokule Taniguchi, who just recently had moved from Hawaii to Wisconsin, and she was riding her bike to and from work every day in the Wisconsin freaking winter.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so the Christmas party came around. There was a raffle. There was indeed a car in the raffle, and all these friends were nervous because there were other coworkers who weren't in on this. There was still a chance someone else would win the car. Well, when the name was drawn, it not only was one of the friends, it was Hokule's best friend, a girl named Haley Bridges, who immediately turned around and said, it's all yours. This is your car. There were tears. There was hugging. I mean, who gives away a car when you're a 17-year-old high school student? And by the way, she's driving around in a car that's not fully paid off. So she's still making payments on her car.
Wow.
She gave the car to her friend who had just moved from Hawaii.
Because it would have been perfectly cool if she said, you know what? Now that I've won this new car, you can have my old car.
Take over the payments on mine.
Yeah.
Well, this was an act of kindness that was rewarded. Actually, Haley's aunt was so proud of her for what she did that she held a big fundraiser in the neighborhood and raised enough money to pay off Haley's car, too.
Oh, so I love it.
There are no car payments. I love it, too. I mean, man, that's what Feel Good News is all about. What 17-year-old just turns around and says, here, I just got these keys. They're yours. That's your car.
And Chick-fil-A is just cranking out the Chick-fil-A heroes, because it was a couple weeks ago that we had this awesome story about a Chick-fil-A manager directing traffic at a vaccine clinic. I mean,
we've had Chick-fil-A employees save people from choking. I mean, there's something in that Chick-fil-A sauce that just makes people good people.
These are some good folks.
That's your Feel Good News. Thank you for listening to this episode. Again, the Hope Flyer, I just want to remind you once again, is in the show notes below or in the blog of ajandsarah.com. And please, Sarah, we're at, I believe, 85 ratings. When we get to 100, we've got stuff on the line. We've had a little bit of a slowing down of the ratings and reviews. So if you have a minute to do that on the Apple, in iTunes, essentially, in iTunes or the Apple Podcast app on your iPhone.
My kids keep asking me, when are you going to do that super embarrassing thing where you dance hip-hop
and hip-hop people see cardio it? Shared with the world. It's happening. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Bye.